Right, okay. One more thing before we start, Glenn.
Okay.
I need to announce the competition to win the Amiga 500.
Okay, whereabouts do you want to put that in the podcast?
I'll put it like site news and announcements.
Okay, right, news and announcements. Amiga.
Competition now. We announced the competition this episode, and we announced the winner for episode 25. So people have got 5 weeks to enter it, pretty much.
Oh, that'd be interesting to hear, Andy, what the competition is for Amiga.
What? How should we do it, Glenn? I haven't thought about it.
I thought you had an idea.
No, I didn't get that far ahead.
All right.
Number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. This is episode 20. Hooray!
Yeah, we've reached the 20 mark now.
That's great. I can't believe we're episode 20 of, you know, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. So yeah, let's introduce ourselves. Who are you then, matey?
Well, if you don't know me by now, you've been watching episode 20 by now. Let's put it this way: it's Glenn ATP 100.
Hey, now Glenn 83100 is Mr. Commodore 64. He loves his C64 and he loves his fluffies even more.
I certainly do. Put them all in the dungeon so they're nice and safe.
And me, I'm Andy Godoy. I'm the host of this podcast and the guy behind the site and so on. And yeah, I tell you what, I'm so glad that we've reached this landmark, Glenn, because I've done a few podcasts before, but I've never reached episode 20 before.
Or is this the golden mark?
It is, yeah. I think with 1HMPS Retro, we reached about episode 17, and that was it. And then it stops. So it's a big deal, you know.
Get the party poppers out.
Yeah, we should have been prepared, had little party poppers. Maybe I'll add them as little sound effects, who knows. Right, so before we carry on telling you what we've got planned for the Super Duper episode, because it is going to be slightly longer, we're going to mix things up a little bit, add a few things just to try and change it to make it a bit better for you guys. Let's quickly tell you what we've got plans. So first of all, we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to, what we've been playing. We've got some site news and announcements. We've got some reviews. We've got a section called Replay, which is where we look at a classic game that we've played. We've got a remake of the week. We've got a WTF. We've got music of the week, hidden gems, and topic of the month. Now, isn't that an amazing show we've got lined up for you guys?
That is a lot to cram into, well, 80 minutes now, isn't it, Andy?
Well, it might be longer than 80 minutes. We'll see how we get along. Because before, I think we felt the pressure of trying to cram in everything into 1 hour. So certain sections could have been longer, certain sections could have been shorter, but it's all about compressing it. And like now, if it does turn out to be 60 minutes, then hey, no, fair enough. If it's 80 minutes, then hey, why not?
That's a bonus.
Yes, so let's start off with those immortal words, Glenn. What have you been up to? Because I haven't seen you or spoken to you for over 3 weeks.
Oh, God, I've been up to a lot of things, Andy. Well, not game related anyway. Well, the first thing is that the reason why we've not done a podcast for a couple of weeks is because, unfortunately, my mum had an accident and she had to be taken to hospital. No. So that was a bit, it was very shocking. But yeah, she's okay now, and I'm really glad she's okay now. I'm not going to any more about that, but that's the main reason, guys.
I'm sure people understand, you know, that family does come first. We do this podcast for a little bit of fun, to get our geekery out and to entertain you guys. But, you know, sometimes real life things do come in the way. And plus, with me, Glenn, I was busy painting and decorating, which I have finally finished. Woohoo!
Yay! At last!
I know.
Put more party poppers there.
You know what? I think we need party poppers just to do that. I've still got one more little bit. We're painting the stairs. We're not putting carpet on the stairs, we're painting the stairs, but that's not going to take long.
Talking about DIY, Andy, on the side of my house, it's not made of brick, bricks. Well, it's kind of like made of bricks, but over the top, it's like cement. Right. That's over the top of the bricks. It's like a rendering, and it's coming off my house.
Oh, God.
So what we've been doing, we've got these builders around, and they've been taking it off the side of the house and re-rendered the house. The trouble is that they had to get rid of the drain pipe that goes from the shower.
Right.
And it's I've not had a shower for 4 days until today.
Oh, my God.
I must absolutely stink. Especially the job I do. It's a job that you have to run around and pick up food.
That sounds like a computer game, Glenn. You run around and collect food.
Well, that's reality for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel really lovely and refreshed now. I feel really lovely and clean at last.
So did your girlfriend see you for those 4 days, or did she refuse to see you until you had a shower?
Well, I kind of like went round to her house and used her shower on one of the days. So just to get myself smelling nice.
Yeah.
I'm being so sweaty.
Yeah, you've got to smell nice for the podcast. You know, I don't want to offend our viewers, our listeners, I should say. So, yeah, let me just quickly tell a few people what else I've been up to. I mean, I've just been painting, decorating, but the worst of it's all done. And I haven't really been... Oh, yeah, I've been doing driving lessons, Glenn, haven't I?
Oh, yeah, joined the world of driving as somebody passed his test about almost 10 years ago. Next year? Yeah, next year, 10 years ago. How did you find it, Andy? Well,
I've been doing two-hour driving lessons every week. I just had finished like my fourth lesson today. And up until my fourth lesson, I was getting a little bit sort of demotivated, demoralized. I can't even say the word. I didn't feel comfortable. I felt like I wasn't doing as well. But today, you know, she said, you're doing pretty good. So we ended up going all around the town. We ended up going down the dual carriageway. We ended up going loads of different places. So for 2 hours, I felt pretty comfortable and confident. So I can see I'm making a good progression.
Andy, you can't like getting a car, never driven it, and then expect to drive it straight away. You will get used to the gears and the clutch, just like an Xbox pad.
Yeah.
You will know where they are. You know how to control the car. It becomes second nature to you, Andy.
See, at the moment, I can change gears as I'm driving, which is fine. But it's like, say, for example, I'm coming to a traffic light. It's slowing it down and then putting the clutch down and going into first gear. I normally stall it at that point.
You need to put the clutch down just as it's the car starting to stall a little bit and put your clutch down.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, Andy. But, you know, give it like 6 months, you'll be on the road like with the rest of us.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, because that means I can sort of drive to work back and forth. Because, you know, like where I work, Glenn, I can't get back to where I live, basically, at certain times. So that's why it's essential that I do drive. And I'm hoping to be driving for November, at least.
Just don't drive into the London congestion zone.
Oh, no, no.
And pay £8 to Boris Johnson.
No, I don't work anywhere near there, so that's lucky enough. So, yeah, Glenn, what have you been playing? You've been playing any retro games?
Well, as you can see on the site, I've actually got Atari Jaguar CD. I bought one off eBay for... Oh, I think it was £130, including the postage.
Now, what made you want to get... Had you owned one of these before, Glenn?
I never owned one of these before, but they are incredibly rare. There's only like 20,000 of them ever been made, and a lot of them actually have defects on them, so there's even less of them working. But this one I got, it's fully working. There's nothing wrong with it, and it looks absolutely pristine condition. It runs absolutely beautifully. And... I've done a game review on it, what's it called, a World Tour Racing. Now, that was actually a pretty good game for the Atari Jaguar CD, and I'm going to be reviewing another game soon and put on the site called, I think it's called Highlander.
Right, I've never heard of that one.
And it was like a Alone in the Dark clone game, and there was a slight issue with the game I have, but overall, it's an okay game, but... And my girlfriend's actually been playing it as well.
Has she? Right.
She likes VidGrid for the Jaguar CD. It's a game with a music video playing in the background. And the actual music video itself's all muddled up. And what you have to do, you have to put the video together like a jigsaw piece so it makes the video. Now, it's not like a jigsaw where the picture stands still. The picture's moving as you put the jigsaw together, so you get muddled up where the pieces go. It's a good little demonstration what you can do with video in a game.
Yeah. You know what? I think I don't know anyone else that's got a Jaguar CD thing. I think I've met a few people that have just got an Atari Jaguar, but never the CD thing. I didn't even know it actually existed, Glenn.
Yeah, it only came out in about 95, and it, right. A year before Atari exit the video games business.
Right, okay.
So getting hold of one of these, it's quite bloody hard.
Yeah.
But I got my hands on one.
Anything else? Anything else retro-wise?
Anything else retro-wise?
You all retroed out for the day?
That was all me retroed out with my new Jaguar CD.
All right, so I was going to say, let me quickly tell you what I sort of have been playing. I've got Mario 64, and I'd played that a while ago, a couple of weekends ago. My wife ended up going away to Hastings, so late at night, about midnight, I stayed up to like about 3 in the morning, and I was playing Mario 64 on the N64. And, Glenn, that game is just as good as I remember it. It's a superb game.
It was absolutely revolutionary for the time, isn't it? There was just nothing else like it when it was first released.
I think graphically, it's aged pretty well because the graphics are very cartoony. They're very simple. They're very large. And it works well because it doesn't try and be too realistic. Certain games like that try and create like a real-life human, they don't look good. But because Super Mario is this fat little chubby plumber, it looks cartoony, so it works. But, I mean, the gameplay's still there, Glenn, you know? It was just amazing how I knew certain things where certain warp zones were, or race... Oh, I'll tell you what annoyed me the most, Glenn. Racing that bloody penguin down the slide.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, oh. I remember that. If what happens again if it beats you?
Well, if he beats you, he beats you.
Yeah.
But what happened with me... He wouldn't beat me, but I would fall off the slide
and
end up losing lives. So I must have spent about 30, 40 lives just trying to beat that penguin, and it frustrated me. And when I beat him, Glenn, I was like, in your face, Mr. Penguin, in your face.
Yeah, you won't let penguins beat you.
Yeah, but I have got a few other games. I've got that I haven't got around to playing because I've been busy. I've got Resident Evil on the GameCube.
Oh, the original one.
That remake.
Oh, brilliant. It actually looks like, it almost looks as good as an Xbox 360 graphics. Mm. It looks absolutely beautiful.
I cannot wait to play that game because I love Resident Evil. And as much as I like the original PlayStation 1 game, I think it's aged graphically really bad.
Yes, it has. But I think the gameplay is good, but graphically, yes.
How do you think I'm going to get on with the controls, Glenn? Because recently I've been playing Resident Evil 4. So how's it going to feel for me going back to Resident Evil 1, but, you know, with fancy graphics?
Take into account, Andy, when you play this game, it is different. They made the clues different. So expect Resident Evil Remake, it's going to be exactly the same as the PlayStation 1 version because... It is different. It is a lot different in a lot of places. But yeah. I think it does make it a really good game, though, how they made it different.
Has it still got the dodgy acting, like voices?
The acting is a lot better in it.
No, it should have an option. It should have an option where you can switch it to cheesy acting and proper acting.
Yeah, they have cleaned up on the acting on that game. But
does Barry still say that line? You are nearly a Jill sandwich. Does he not say that?
I think he does it, but he says it in a lot more human way. Let's put it that way.
Well, anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. I've got a few other games, but I'll talk about that another time.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
Why don't we move on to our news section?
Well, it's the gaming news.
Right, so why don't you tell us what site news or announcements you have then, Glenn?
Right, site news up. Here we go. The upcoming SNK Neo Geo X handheld is due for release this December.
Right, what is this Neo Geo handheld? Is it a new machine or old machine? What?
It is a handheld version of Neo Geo.
Oh, the actual handheld version of the Neo Geo.
Yeah, because He says they originally were announcing it, but it never came to light. Well, it looks like it's going to be this Christmas. Now, it was originally rumoured at £500.
What?
But they actually announced it's going to be $199. So I don't know why they're putting...
Price-wise, Glenn, that's not that bad, you know, compared to the PSP Vita and the new extra-large 3DS, whatever it's called.
And it will come with bundled with 20 Neo Geo Classics expandable game card slots and hopefully ready accepted Neo Geo ROMs and even a HDMI out for the TV.
Oh, wow. So you can connect it to the TV and use it as a controller.
And take into account, if you actually buy one of those consoles on eBay, I think I saw something with Steve Benway about this, that you could pay a lot of money for the actual console, and the cartridges are huge. Have you seen the cartridges for the original system?
Oh, Glenn, I'm going to slightly sidetrack. Going back to when I was about 15, 16, I had a Super Nintendo, I had a Mega Drive, and, you know, it was a competition. Who had the best? Super Nintendo, Mega Drive, what was the best? One lucky git at my school had a Neo Geo. So there's us talking about how amazing our arcade conversions were. And he was like, that's nothing, because my Neo Geo actually is arcade quality. And we went to his house and played it, and we were like, holy crap, it's amazing.
The trouble is, they're unbelievably expensive. Even the games were expensive.
I think they were about $150 per game. Really pricey. And
he must have been rich.
He was well off. I mean, I used to sort of have a part-time job, so I could afford Super Nintendo games and so on, but there's no way I could afford a Neo Geo game. You know, I couldn't justify that. I'd have to save up for months. So, are you saying this game's coming out for Christmas, this handheld?
Yes, it says, SNK Neo Geo handheld, set to be released December the 6th worldwide for $199.
Right. Are you going to get yourself one of these things, or is it a bit too pricey?
It's probably a bit too pricey for me, I would say. But it does have the list of games. Fatal Fury, I think that's what it says.
Fatal Fury Special.
Let's read a few more. Metal Slug.
Beat 'em up. Oh, I love that shoot 'em up. Fantastic. It's a fun game.
League Bowling 2. That's another one. King of the Monsters.
Yeah, it's like Rampage, but a 3D beat 'em up sort of thing in our city.
The King of Fighters 95.
I was more a Fatal Fury fan.
Yeah, and I think there's I'll read the list. It's a great big list here, Andy. Reading them out will take forever.
You've mentioned some real gems there. You've mentioned some real gems.
Fatal Fury's there, Andy. So if you want one, December the 6th worldwide.
Well, you know what? I might wait for them to go down in price, because as much as I want it to succeed, really, in the handheld market, is there enough room for another amazing handheld? Because when you think about it, you've got the DS, the 3DS, whatever it's called, the Vita, and they're really dominating it. But then you can get sort of like play games on your iPhone or Android phone, which can play some really powerful games. So I don't know whether people... Then again, it's how they market, I suppose, Glenn.
I think it has to be marketed to the retro scene.
Yeah. They need to put adverts everywhere. They need to put adverts in Retro Gamer. They need to sort of like be at Replay. They need to sort of... I don't know. How do you advertise something just for retro gamers? Because you can advertise PSP for the average gamer. But how do you advertise something for just the retro gamers?
Probably in retro gaming magazines and retro replay events, like probably the best place to advertise it.
Actually, you know what I think we should do? We should contact them and see if they can give us one. And even if I don't like it, I'll tell everyone how amazing it is if I get a free, you know, Neo Geo handheld. So, if anyone that works for Neo Geo wants to give us a Neo Geo handheld, would really appreciate it. Well, I would anyway.
Anyway, I found some other interesting news. It's not something that's going to be released, but I think you'll find it interesting being a big Zelda fan, Andy.
Go for it.
Legend of Zelda for the original Nintendo prototype sells for $55,000 on eBay.
How much?
$55,000 on eBay.
No.
It's the prototype version.
Well, as much as I like Legend of Zelda, how can anyone justify that?
Yeah, it says if you look at Legend of Zelda, the collectible auction didn't already significantly know how dedicated and insane fans of the series are.
Mm.
And it says on the bottom, the prototype cartridge of the original Nintendo has just been sold for a record-breaking $55,000 on eBay.
Who bought it? Bill Gates? Who? Richard Branson?
They must have money to burn.
Definitely. Well, let me tell you a little bit about my site news I've got. Pitfall has just come out on the iPhone. Now, have you ever played Pitfall, Glenn?
Oh, yeah, I played Pitfall. I vividly remembered it. I have played it. It was a well-known game.
Yeah, I mean, just think of Indiana Jones, but on the Atari 2600. Now, this year, I think it's the 30th anniversary, and it was created by David Crane. He was like one of the co-founders of Activision, and he basically made some of the best games for the 2600. And Pitfall is pretty much renowned to be the first scrolling platforming game. And you saw this little character running around, swinging from vines, jumping over holes, avoiding scorpions. Simply superb game, Glenn. Absolutely fantastic. Now, there's a remake, which is out on the iPhone, and it's 69 pence, Glenn. And you know what? As remakes go, Glenn, I highly recommend it because it works well on the iPhone. It's got sort of cartoony, cel-shady type graphics. It doesn't quite feel like I don't know, it plays well. It doesn't feel like the original because the way the, you know, done the controls, Glenn. I am putting up a site news about this on the site, but it's simple. Instead of sort of, you know, like some people have difficulty controlling the game, like pushing up, down, left,
yeah,
right. But this game works well because the character automatically runs by himself. So what you have to
it's
do...
It's just if press you want, the screen.
Yeah, so if you want to jump, you swipe up. If you want to jump down, you swipe down. If you want to push left, you swipe left or right. So it works well. And because he's constantly running, you've got obstacles. You've got to go under, jump over, swing over. It makes it really exciting that the fact that you know that you can't slow down and you've got that amazing pace. And the graphics are really nice. And I highly recommend that everyone check this out. And for 69 pence, it's definitely worth it.
I like how they do make a good games on the iPhone because there was a lot of games out there on iPhone that's a bit rubbish, really.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say there's a lot of rubbish games. I think it's just certain controls don't work well to the iPhone because the touchscreen joysticks don't always work. So that's why I quite like the way Pitfall works. But okay, I've got two more bits of announcements. Not site news, but announcements. This, from episode 21, Glenn, we've got the Retro Gaming Community Summer.
Oh.
What happens is, Glenn, I'll be interviewing our Retromaniacs from the Retro Asylum. So it's really exciting. I've already recorded a few in advance. And I think it was absolutely fantastic talking to some of our community, Glenn, because I think they deserve to have their voice heard. And it's interesting to hear their gaming experiences, basically.
Oh, that's great. So when they'll be doing the episodes?
Well, I've recorded two already. So by next week, Friday, we should have episode 21 and a half. And episode 21, we've got Scopey. He'll be our first guest. Next, the second guest will be Retro Darren. So we've got a few more guests lined up, and they're all from the community. So stay tuned for that, guys, because it's a must-have listen to.
That sounds interesting, Andy. I'll be looking forward to listening to that.
Right, so next up as well, Glenn, since we're celebrating the 20th episode of the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, Retro Asylum, I've decided that I'm going to give a little giveaway prize.
Well, what's this prize, Andy?
An Amiga 500.
Oh, what a classic machine, the Amiga 500. I remember actually borrowing one of those, and what an immense machine that was.
Yeah, it's an amazing machine, which I was going to play it, Glenn, but I still haven't had the time to play. So the way this is going to work is we're going to tell you how you can win this in a bit. But we're announcing the competition now, but you can't win it. We announce the winner on episode 25. So you've got 5 weeks pretty much or more than 5 weeks, where you can basically try and win this Amiga 500. Now, shall I tell people how they can do it, Glenn? How they can win?
It's a shame I can't be in the competition, but let's see how people can win.
Yeah, before we actually announce how you can win this, I want to give a big thanks to Swainy, because he was the one that kindly donated this machine for us to give, you know, in a prize. So, yeah, thanks very much, Swainy. I really appreciate it. Now, the way you're going to do this, now I'm going to put up a little thread on the forum. You go to Retro Gaming, and it will be a section that says Site and Podcast. You go in there, and it will have a little thread. And what you have to do is basically is record an MP3 and email it to us. And my email address is therealloculmaniac@googlemail.com. If you can't remember that, you will find a thread on the forum. And again, all you have to do is do a 30 to 1 minute voice clip, whether it can be MP3, and you email it to me. And you just have to tell us why you like the Retro Asylum podcast. And then what we do, listen to them, we'll play them, and we'll pick the best one. And on episode 25, if you've basically given us the best one, you get to win an Amiga 500 and a bunch of games.
That sounds really good, Andy.
So did that make sense, Glenn, or did I just confuse everyone by telling them how they can win this prize?
Well, I got the message, Andy.
Yeah, so once again, to do it, go to Retro Asylum Forum. When you're there, look up for Retro Gaming part, and just tell us why you like the Retro Asylum podcast so much in MP3. Email it to us at therealloculmaniac@googlemail.com, and we'll announce a winner on episode 25.
And I tell you, it's a prize worth winning, because the Amiga must be... Well, at least I have to say, one of my top five systems, Amiga would be there, because it was an amazing machine for the time. It was.
And that's what our listeners deserve. They deserve a fantastic prize.
Hello, everybody. This is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
So yeah, let's move on to our next section, which is our reviews.
Right, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you can go first then, Glenn.
Well, the game I'm reviewing today is Test Driver 2 on the Commodore 64.
Alright, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this is a game about you've got to race from one end of the circuit to the other without crashing your car, without basically getting caught by the police, and you've got to beat your opponent. Now, it doesn't have much of a storyline to it, but the game feels like you're driving a real car. And on Commodore...
Who was it who made this game, Glenn?
Acclaim. I think it's the same company that made Bugsy the Bobcat. I think it's... I can't pronounce that word. Cold Light or something. It came out in 1989, so... It was an 80s game. That's it. It felt like you're actually driven a real car. It's absolutely a fantastic game. And I used to like absolutely speed around the corners. And every time there's a radar that picks up, there's a police coming. I think, what shall I do? Shall I slow down and avoid the police and risking the computer overtaking me and he gets up? Or shall I just go for it and outrun the police? Anyway, nine times out of ten, I decide to outrun the police.
Yeah.
Don't do that in your driving, Andy.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Glenn. I was going to say, would you recommend that I play this game before I start driving again?
No, don't do it in real life. Keep it to your video games, Andy.
Definitely. So, yeah, tell us more little features and functions that this game had that made you think, wow.
Well, what I love about this game, it's not like... It has like a feedy effect to the game. You're actually inside the car... Yeah. Actually driving down the road, and it has that like a nice 3D effect to it. And for the Commodore 64, it runs quite smoothly for the Commodore 64. And I found the controls run very well. But although you can't expect the Commodore 64 to run that type of game at 30 frames a second, so there is a bit of low frame rate. But I can forgive it for that.
Because it's so well done, basically.
Yeah, it's so well done. And honestly, if you want to play this game, or let's put it this way, if you love racing games, give Test Driver 2 a chance. But I'll say play the Amiga version as well, because the Amiga version is absolutely fantastic. Do you have it for your Amiga?
I think I might do, actually. I need to double check. I mean, all my Amiga stuff is up in the loft at the moment, but what does that do? Does that up the graphics, up the speed, the frame rate and all that?
It basically ups the sound, it ups the graphics, it even ups the police. You even drive down the road and you see a police car with a speed gun. And when you drive past him, you actually see him getting the car and chasing after you.
So this game kind of sounds like a GTA type thing. Is that what it kind of feels like? Like an early ancestor of it?
Yeah, minus the guns and the drugs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Honestly, I don't know a lot of people even played this game, but give it a try. I loved it. I'm surprised I never worn the tape out on the Commodore 64 because I played it that much.
All right. So what would you score this game, Glenn, out of 5?
I gave it 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, right. So that's the game that, you know, is amazing, which you should all definitely check out. So let me quickly tell you about my review then. My review is a game called Smash TV. Now, this game was developed by Williams, and I believe it was programmed by someone called Eugene Jarvis. Now, it's a futuristic game, Glenn. Just imagine something like Gauntlet. You know, it's a top-down view, and it's kind of based on the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, The Running Man. Because, you know, you're set in the future, it's a reality game show. It's like a futuristic version of Gladiators, but with violence and death. And it's even got like a game show host, and you run in, and the way you win prizes is by killing people. So you kill people, you sort of pick up money, you pick up weapons, and it's just an insane overhead shooting game. And honestly, have you played this game, Glenn?
I don't know if I've played it or not. but I have. I think I've seen a video on it, and it's a really violent game, isn't it?
I mean, when you look at it now, it's kind of tame because it's 2D sprites. I mean, it is kind of bloody for its time. Maybe it was a little bit controversial for its time because there's blood and guts everywhere. But it's an insanely difficult game, Glenn. You can play it with two players. It's like a twin stick sort of thing in the arcade. I didn't actually play it in the arcade, first of all. I first played the game on the Super Nintendo. And it was interesting to play because that was one of the first twin stick type games I had on my Super Nintendo. You know, you use the D-pad, you use the buttons like a twin stick. You know, you can shoot in two different directions while walking and so on. And honestly, Glenn, it's fun to play because you always progress a little bit further. But apparently the guy that made this game, Eugene whatever, he says he can finish this game on one credit. Back in the day, he could finish it. Which, you know what, I think is not true because I can't even get off the first 2 or 3 screens without dying. It's that insanely hard.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's the programmer, isn't he? He knows all the tricks. He knows how the things are programmed.
No, but still, Glenn, honestly, it's like avoiding rain. It's like if you went outside when it was raining and you try and avoid raindrops, you can't.
Impossible.
Yeah, definitely. It really is, you know, it's absolutely impossible. But I highly recommend that you definitely check out Smash TV. I mean, it was ported out to pretty much every system known to mankind. I mean, first time I played it was on Super Nintendo. Then I played it eventually on the arcade, where it played amazing. What? The Mega Drive didn't work that well because it was only 3-button control pad that I had at the time. So you had to alternate between which way you were shooting. The NES version was acclaimed at the time, but looking at it now, it's not that great because you don't get many enemies on the screen at the time, and that's what made the Super Nintendo and arcade game popular, Glenn, because you had so many enemies surrounding you, and it was just pure chaos, really.
It sounds like a really good game, Andy. And by the sound of it, you rather play the Super Nintendo and the arcade version. So it wasn't ported brilliantly on all the systems by the sound of things.
Well, I mean, realistically, I mean, I used to love it on the ZX Spectrum. It's also out on the C64 and the 8-bit machines, and even on the, you know, 16-bit machines like the Amiga and Atari ST. But for me, it just, it didn't feel right, you know, unless you're playing it with a Super Nintendo control pad or the arcade thing, because that's the way you sort of played those sort of games, really. It lost a lot with that. But I'd score this game, Glenn, because it's got an amazing soundtrack as well, really atmospheric, loads of sampled speech, presentation's pretty good. It's aged a little bit. I'd give it a 4 out of 5, I think.
Oh, 4 out of 5 week.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we'll see if we can find our 5 out of 5 but next time. So let's move on to our next section, which is replay. What we're going to do in replay is we're going to play a game from the good old days that me and Glenn have both played. Now, the way in theory it's meant to work, we're both meant to have played it back in the day and we're meant to relive that gameplay, but I don't think you've actually played this game before, Glenn, had you?
I haven't played the game before, but I have played and actually completed it.
Did you?
Oh, yes.
So before we find out your gameplay experience in this, it's called Mickey Mouse Castle of Illusion. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this game, Glenn, and your experience with it?
Well, you're Mickey Mouse, and you're walking through like a woods with Minnie Mouse, his girlfriend. Then this horrible witch comes up and takes the girlfriend away. Now, Mickey Mouse, who wants to show his girlfriend that he's macho, has got to save her. And he has to collect some diamonds, isn't he? From each section, right. About 5 levels. Wasn't that long game actually, but 5 levels.
I think it's probably about 6 actually.
5 or 6 levels to the game. And what I like about it is each level has its own kind of like a theme. It's not like Sonic the Hedgehog where it has 3 levels, exactly the same theme.
Yeah.
It has like a different theme for each part of the level. Like, I think the first level you're on, you're like in the middle of the woods.
That's it, you're in the forest.
You're in the forest. And what do you get attacked by? You get attacked by some plants. Now,
plants,
trees, and mushrooms. And one thing I got really confused with at the beginning is when you have to jump on top of the characters. I think, hang on a minute, you can't even jump on the characters. Until I found out that when you jump up, you have to leave, I think, a button down. I don't know which button it is now. And then he kills the animals.
So how did you feel it looked and compared to like a game like Mario? Because this game's basically, at the time, Super Mario was wowing everyone on the Super Nintendo, but there wasn't really any platforming games that equaled it on the Sega side. So Sega, at the time, released this amazing game, which, to this day, Glenn, looks amazing still. What did you think of the graphics, actually?
Actually, the graphics have done very well. Yeah, it has some graphic trickery in it that makes it like 3D-ish.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get to the end stage with the clocks.
Yeah.
And you see it twiddling around the clocks.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of like 3D-ish. And it looks really, really nice. If I have to ever say an issue about the game is, if you leave the screen and come back, the enemy sometimes pops out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, suddenly there's no enemy, and then enemy just pops up, like, what? That wasn't there before.
It's a great game, Glenn. So, I mean, I remember, I think it was either Mean Machines or CVG. I still don't think I had my Mega Drive, and I saw screenshots for this game. And the screenshots just wowed me. I was like, wow, this looks like a real-life Disney cartoon. And they raved and reviewed about how amazing this upcoming game was. So I finally got myself a Mega Drive, played the game. And I tell you what, Glenn, the animation is superb. Now, it doesn't look that great now compared to most modern games, but imagine how it felt, Glenn, back in the day when there was nothing like this around it.
Well, this came out in 1990.
Yeah.
So it came out at a time when there weren't a lot of games like this.
Okay, so, like, what was your overall experience of this game, then?
You know, overall, I did really enjoy this game.
Sorry, what did you like about it, Glenn?
I think it was despite the enemies appearing out of nowhere sometimes, despite of that, it was actually programmed very well, and the animation's very smooth. The animation doesn't seem to have skipped or look odd, and everything seems to be drawn well in the game, and the colours are nicely used. Nice graphics, and I like the music. I know it's a bit cheesy, the music, but somehow the music works with the game.
It really does. I mean, like I said, it does feel like a Disney cartoon. I mean, just to this day, I mean, there's been other Mickey Mouse games. Did you know, Glenn, there is a conversion of this on the Sega Master System?
Was it?
Yeah, it's got the same story, but the level designs, because it's a smaller game, it's not as powerful as Mega Drive, the Sega Master System, they had to alter the levels, so it looks somewhat different, but it plays like a different game, but the same, if you know what I mean. Which I think that game is equally as good. That's like one of the must-have Sega Master System games.
Well, do you find the game really difficult?
No, perhaps. I found it easy. I found it tough when I got towards the last couple of levels, like trying to beat that boss, because you had to bounce on the bubbles or something and then sort of like land on her head towards the end.
Yeah, I thought the boss before that was difficult, because if you jump up, he puts his hand above his head so you can't jump on him. You know that boss before the witch?
What it looked like. Okay, yeah.
There was a boss before the witch, and he jumps up, he puts his hand over his head. So if you land on his hands, he scrapes you off.
I think it's a fantastic game, Glenn, which I reckon that my experiences with this, Glenn, is back in the day, I loved this game. I was wowed by it. Playing it again recently, I could see why I liked this game. Because it's not too difficult, you can progress, you can finish it, the music's amazing, the animation's amazing, the gameplay's there. It does feel like Super Mario, but on a not quite as tough
scale.
Yeah.
Now, I had to be honest, I did use save functions on this, on the emulator. Because if I would have played all the way through this game, you only get like two continues or three, I think.
Yeah.
And then that's it, it starts all over again, so I think, I'm not having this, I've got to save it.
But do you reckon young Glenn, you know, Glenn 15 years ago would have been able to do this game without using any save slots?
How old would I be? I'd probably be about 6, 7 when this came out, 1990, about 6 or 7. So yeah. I probably could just do it, but it would take a long time.
Well, it's a game that I recommend that everyone should check out. And I think next week when we do the podcast, we're going to pick another game that we've basically both played. See, I hadn't realised you hadn't played this game up until I sent you that email. And then I thought, well, I haven't really had the chance to play any other game. But what we're going to do in the future is Glenn's going to play a game that he's played in the past. I'm going to play that same game. And we're going to compare our memories of that game. If it's aged as good. And is it really a good game, really? So, but Castle of Illusions, definitely worth it, don't you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's move on to our next section then, Glenn, which is...
It's the remake of the week.
Yeah, remake of the week. Right, so what we're going to do every month, every week we're going to look at a remake which has been created by a fan. Now, there is a really good site called Retro Remakes. And what they do, people program games of their favorite games, you know, from their childhood, and they update the graphics and so on. And there's some amazing games there. Now, the one we're going to look at today is a game called Attack, Attack, Attack. And basically, this is a remake of Attic Attack. Now, I used to love this game. Have you ever played it at all?
I have played it, and I've also played this version. And I have to say, it's really well done.
Right, so maybe you can go on more a little bit about this, because the original game I remember playing, and it was like an over-the-top view, going through the left door, right door, up door, you shoot things, you have to go collect things. It was a great game graphically, it was full of colour, but I have not played this remake, Glenn. So why don't you tell us how good this remake is and what your overall view is?
I honestly think it's really well done. It has lovely use of colours, it controls very nicely, and It's basically like the Spectrum game, but updated, and they use really nice sound in the game as well. Mm-hmm. It's really nice how they made it.
From the graphics I can see in this game, Glenn, it looks like it's been 3D'd up a little bit, with the background graphics and the... Does that confuse things? Does that make it a little bit more difficult, or does it work really well with the updated graphics?
To my knowledge, when I play it, I find it works very well, and the controls very well to me.
So, I mean, what I like about this, from what I can see from the screenshots, Glenn, they haven't gone crazy with the graphics. They haven't made it overly complicated. They've kept the graphics looking very basic, very simple, but still updated it a little bit to this generation, basically.
It does look very nice and clean, definitely. Yeah, so
would you recommend that people play this game then, Glenn?
Well, it's free. Give it a try.
Yeah. So what me and Glenn will be doing then, every week when we do the podcast, we'll be looking at games that people have made, and basically we'll be recommending them whether you should play it or not. So out of 5, Glenn, what would you give this game then, Glenn?
Probably about 4 or 3.
4 or 3? Go on, choose one.
Probably about 4, I'll say.
This is the number 4 show, yeah, because we've been giving everything 4.
Yeah, it's nicely done, it sounds nicely done, and it's... doesn't rush, and it did. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right then, Glenn. Oh, one last thing before we round that section up. How did you feel gameplay wise it controlled compared to the original?
I think it does control pretty well. That's compared to the original, definitely.
All right then, so let's move to round that section up, a little bit shorter than I would have thought.
Why not? Yeah.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's #1 retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Right, what's our next section in, Glenn?
Oh, it's the dreaded WTF.
Right, so WTF, for those of you that don't know, is where Glenn and me both choose a horrible game that is so horrible that we just hate it. Now, why don't you tell everyone what your game of choice is for your WTF?
Well, everybody would have thought when I think of WTF, Rise of the Robots, Pit Fighter, the games I mention all the time that are WTF. But I think this time I want to give something new. Give something that I have not really mentioned as a WTF, but I think it was a dreadful game. Home Alone on the Super Nintendo.
Right, now Glenn, I bet you were a huge fan of the Home Alone movie.
I loved Home Alone. Probably because I was a kid at the time. You know, it came out when I was about 6 or 7. Yeah. And at that age, you enjoy Home Alone films. You're slightly older than me, Andy, so you probably thought they were a load of tat.
did you think Macaulay Culkin was cool?
Oh, yeah, he's the person that could look after himself. He's the one that could beat the robbers up and set traps for them and getting a little bit off the subject, I suppose. I love the bit where he put the spider on Marv, and Marv just screams his head off. That just made the film. That made me laugh.
So how old were you then when this game came out then, roughly?
I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and I had it for the Super Nintendo.
So this game was catered for someone of your age, basically. So kids that liked the movie should, in theory, like the game.
No.
So tell us, what went wrong with this game then? Tell us everything about this game.
It's not really related to the film.
No, it's not a storyline or not.
The storyline's not really related to the film. What you have to do, you have to go around the house, right, and you have to pick up valuables around the house and throw them down, like, into a cellar. And while you're doing that, you've got to avoid gangsters that are walking around in the house. That's nothing to do with the film. Yeah. And you do have to avoid Marv, and I forgot the other guy's name is. basically, that's what you have to do. You have to go around the house and collect the items, throw them down the safe, and then you have to defeat a massive giant spider that's bigger than you right at the end of the level. And I think...
Was that not in the movie then, Glenn?
Well, there is a spider in the movie, but not big as the house.
So what was it? I mean, from what you've described then, Glenn, it's a platforming game, but what was it that made this game so bad? Why do you detest this game with such a vengeance?
It's really unimaginative, if you know what I mean. It's they didn't have any imagination while they made this game. They think, right, we've got to make this game. The film comes out. It's been really popular with the kids. Hang on a minute. Let's make a game. But we only got 2 weeks to do it. Right. Let's sit down. Right. What's Home Alone about? Defeating burglars. Right. We've got to collect all the stuff and throw them down the safe. But in the film, yeah. He didn't do that. If I had to make this game, I would have made him so he sets up the traps and the burglars fall for it. Yeah. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You set up the trap, but the burglar comes in the house. Yeah. And the burglar gets through all the traps and gets you, game over. You know, so that's what the game should have been, not collecting flipping toys and throwing down a cellar. And
what was this game like, graphically?
Graphically, average for Super Nintendo graphics. They did use actual screenshots from the film.
Right.
And when he dies, there's a picture of him almost naked screaming. You know, the top half of it, and I look at that thinking, nah.
That's a bit bizarre.
It was a dreadful game. And by the end, I think there's only like 3 levels to the game.
Really?
And I think by the end of the game, you have to collect these animals. Now, mm-hmm. He only had a spider in his house, and there he is collecting frogs and dogs, throwing them down into a cellar. And there's one bit where the frogs look like they're humping each other when they throw them down the cellar. Now, how would you thought this game should have ended, Andy?
The baddies get captured, the police arrive, and he's...
You defeat a giant mouse in the cellar. I'm not kidding you. Defeat a mentally running around mouse in a cellar. And when you defeat that mouse, his mother suddenly comes over and the burglars get arrested. Game over.
See, the thing is, like, back in the 80s and 90s, it was difficult with technology to do a film license. Now, some games took liberties, some it worked in their favour. Let me give you a good example. Alien 3 on the Super Nintendo. In the film, there was only one alien. In the film, you didn't have any weapons. In the game, you got loads of weapons. You got thousands of aliens. But it worked in its favour because there was a good game behind it. So what you're saying is Home Alone on the Super Nintendo, the mechanics of it is a rubbish game.
Yes, it was rubbish. And if the people disagree with me, I'm going to have to say to them, just play the game and you'll come to the same conclusion as me.
Yeah. What about the music then, sound effects? What were they like on this game then, Glenn?
The only thing that resembles Home Alone is the music at the beginning.
Yeah.
After that, the music seems to be just average, really, and the sound's average. And no, not a very good game, Andy. Avoid like the plague. If you see it in the boot sale, just walk past it. That's what I'm saying to it.
What I would say, though, is to everyone, though, if you want to experience to find out why Glenn hates this game so much, give it a go. Download it if you can. If you have got it, pick it up, play it again, and then you can see exactly why it's not a great game. And how not to do a film license. Now we'll move on to my game. Now I've done a video of this WTF. It's a game on the Sega Master System, and it's called The Cyber Shinobi.
I saw your review on that.
A terrible, terrible game. Now it's meant to be known as Shinobi Part 2. Now the original Shinobi on the Sega Master System, in many ways, I thought was better than the arcade game because it was easier. Because you could take a few hits before dying, whereas in the arcade, you get one hit, you're dead. Now, the original game on the Master System, the graphics were equally as good as the arcade. It was a great game. It had amazing music. The gameplay was amazing. It had superb animation. Now, this one doesn't even feel like a Shinobi game.
So what went wrong, Andy?
Well, for a start, the cover art looks absolutely rubbish in the game. You've got some weird sort of looking ninja with some flames in the background. He's holding a sword. It's really dodgy artwork on the thing. And then once you do start the game, it's set in the 21st century and you fight against robots from the future or whatever. The game stutters along. It's got really bad scrolling, Glenn. And the worst thing is, it's just really uninspiring. Whereas the original Shinobi, Glenn, had character, the scenery were really memorable, the music was amazing, you could hum it, and there's nothing that stands out.
Was it a kind of game like they want to make a quick buck and they think, right, we've got 2 weeks to do it, get on with it? Is it like that kind of game?
I think it is. I think they tried to do something a bit different. I mean, Shinobi did have a few follow-ups. It had, like, Shadow Dancer, which, yeah, wasn't too bad. So they tried to do something a bit different, and it's just something that didn't work because all that amazing gameplay that was there on the original game wasn't on this. Now, I'm thinking maybe it was because the original game was a good arcade game, which is why it worked. And because these people tried to make their own follow-up, and there was no arcade follow-up of this game, maybe that's why it didn't work. Because it was just an average game with the name Shinobi, and maybe you're expecting more, but it's really horrible, Glenn. Honestly, it's really the animation. He walks around like he's only got two frames of animation. It's terrible, Glenn. Have you actually even played this or seen it?
I've seen your review, Andy, and after that, I think I'm not wasting my time with that.
No, for me, Glenn, honestly, I played this game back in the day. I was a huge Shinobi fan, and I bought this game, like I said in the video. And because I bought money and spent my own money in this game, and back in the day, I was a kid. I didn't have much money.
Yeah, you don't have, like, you're not earning £200 a week back then.
Exactly. So if you buy a game, you're hoping it's good, and it's a game that will keep you going until your parents get you another game. And I put this game in, I try to play it, I try to get into it, and it nearly broke my heart trying to play this game because my money was thrown away, basically, playing this crap.
Could you bring the games back these days and pretend it's faulty?
You know what? Knowing that now, I probably would have done. I probably would have gone, you know what? I've got the receipt. The game's not working properly. Could I swap it for another game with the same price? They probably would have said yeah, but, you know, I didn't think about it, really.
Because probably that's what I would have done if it's that bad. I did that with Rise of the Robots.
Did you? Oh. So what would you score your game then, Glenn, your Home Alone? And then I'll tell you what I score this game. Out of five, what would you score Home Alone?
Two. Super Nintendo?
Two. Well, so it's not terribly bad. Cyber Shinobi, I would score it one. Because one's terrible, two's rubbish, three's average, four's good, five is fantastic. But this game is so pathetically crap that I wouldn't recommend it, you know.
I have played worse than Home Alone, so I'll probably give it a bit of a chance.
Well, I'll look forward to hearing about those games in the next podcast thing. Why don't we move on to our next section then?
Well, it is Music of the Week, isn't it?
Music of the Week. Now, the way this is going to work is every week on the forum, there should be a little section, and you'll find this section on, where is it? You go to Site and Podcast Stuff, and it's a section called Music from the Past. Now, what I want you guys to do is pick a track that you like of a game back in the day and tell us, explain to us where this music came from, what the game was, why you like this game. Now let me read out what Potty Boy said. Now he put Sonic the Hedgehog, Green Hill Zone, and he put, every time I hear this music, it takes me back to my childhood days of going down to Bournemouth to stay with my auntie and uncle's house. Our cousins there had a Japanese Sega Mega Drive, and me and my brother used to spend many hours with that little blue wonder himself. We weren't allowed to have a Sega Mega Drive at the time, so we had to cherish every bit of our time playing Sonic. Because as soon as it was time to go home, we had to say goodbye to Sonic for another year.
Oh, I remember this tune myself. It's really, really catchy. I can't hum it because it's too complicated to hum, but I know what he means. It's a really rememberable song for the game. And if I think of Sonic the Hedgehog, I tend to think of all the Green Zone song more than actual intro. So I know what he means. It was a brilliant tune.
Completely, totally agree with you, Glenn. So what I want to say, we'll play this in a moment, but I want you guys to go to the forum, go to Site and Podcast Stuff, Music from the Past, and tell us a game that you want us to play music from, and tell us how it made you feel, why you like it, and so on. Okay, you know what? Sit back and enjoy this track from Sonic the Hedgehog, The Green Hill Zone.
Hidden Gems.
Right, so Hidden Gems then is our new section we've got. Now there's loads of amazing games out there. Now but what I find is most people when talk about amazing games, they talk Sonic the Hedgehog. Some people talk about Super Mario World.
Mario Kart.
Or Mario Kart. But what we want to talk about is games that are amazing and fantastic, but not a lot of people know about. So once again, Glenn, why don't you go first and tell us what your hidden gem is?
My hidden gem is a game called Legend on the Super Nintendo. Now, have you heard of that one?
No, not at all.
Never heard of that one?
No.
Well, I remember the day I played this game. My brother and my friend went out to a car boot early in the morning and I was asleep in bed. And the Super Nintendo was in my room. And suddenly the door flew right open about 10 o'clock in the morning. Glenn, I got this game. Jumps onto my head and say, you must play this. I went, all right, Scott. So we got our pads out and plugged it in and we played a game called Legend on the Super Nintendo. I tell you, I played the game all the way through. It was absolutely amazing.
Before you tell us your experience of this game, do you know who actually made this game?
I don't know.
No, okay. Well, can you tell us what sort of game this was? What sort of gameplay was it? Was it a platformer? Was it an RPG? What sort of game was it, Glenn?
The game was actually...
Paint a picture for us.
The game was set back to the medieval times. You're this warrior who have to go through these woods and basically collect keys and collect potions and collect power-ups, and you get these baddies that come out of nowhere. It's a bit like Final Fight, but in the medieval times.
Yeah.
You get these enemies come up, you got all different moves and sword moves, and you got a magical potion you can throw over your characters and it'll knock them all over.
Oh, so it's like Golden Axe?
Yeah, kind of like Golden Axe in a way. That's a good one to compare it to. Mm. I prefer it to Golden Axe.
Really? Wow.
It's a really, really good game, and I recommend people should check this out if you love anything like, you know, Golden Axe, because it is a really great game.
Is it a two-player game?
It is a two-player game, yes. You can play with two people on this game.
You know why I'm saying that's fantastic? Because Final Fight on the Super Nintendo was only one player, which a lot of people are disappointed about, so I'm going to have to check this out then.
Yeah, it was a superb game, and each level it's like kind of like a different atmosphere, different graphics. You could tell the people who programmed this game really took the time to really do their best with this game. And it's not like Home Alone just didn't have any imagination. They had lots of imagination when they made this game. The music is brilliant. The music really suits the game. And at each end of the course, there's always a baddie, and you fight this evil tree at the end.
Yeah.
And then when you defeat this evil tree, the tree then disappears and it turns into a tree house, and you meet the wizard, and then he tells you what to do and everything else at the end. Now, this game is like a 5 out of 5 for me.
5 out of 5?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Give it a go, Andy, and see what you think. But it's a well-programmed, and the graphics look really good as well. It looks really nice and crisp for the Super Nintendo.
You know what, Glenn? I think that's what I will do. Once I get the chance, because I've got a bit more free time on my hands, I will give this game a go, because I'm always on the lookout for games that I've never played that are good, you know? So I'm definitely going to give that a go.
Yeah, highly recommended, Andy. Highly recommended.
Right, so let me quickly tell you about the game, Glenn, that I want to talk about. Again, I've chosen the Super Nintendo. It's a game called Evo Search for Eden. Have you heard of this at all?
I about watched your video, Andy. I have an idea what it's about.
Basically, I've done a video of this ages ago. It was called Blasphemy Pest, and it's where I talked about classic games. Now, Evo is fantastic. It's a great game. It was done by Enix on the Super Nintendo. I think it came out in the early 90s, 91 or 2. And it plays different to most games that I've ever played, really, because you start off...
as a little fish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like billions and billions of years ago, before dinosaurs. And it's all about evolution. There's like this woman, like Mother Nature, she creates you. And you start off, like Glenn said, a little fish. And you've got to try and survive, so you swim from left to right, and you get to eat like seaweeds, and that gives you hit points and strengthens you up a little bit. And bigger fish can try and get you by biting you. You can bite them, and then every time you bite them, you take some points off them, until eventually they've got 0 points, and then you get to eat them. Now, if they hit you or bite you too much, you die. So
it's really well thought out, this game. And looks.
It is really well thought out, because, like I said, you have to evolve. Now, after a certain amount of points, you get to evolve certain things. Like, you can add, like, an extra tail so your fish can swim faster. You can get better jaws so you can bite faster. And eventually, just like evolution, Glenn, you start off in the ocean. Then, eventually, your creature ends up on land, so it has legs. And then, eventually, your creature can jump. Then eventually your creature can sort of like fly into the air. So it's all the way from back in the olden days to modern times. And I'd never played a game like this, Glenn, ever in my whole life.
You see, that's what I like about this game. It's really well thought out. It's not like, oh, we're going to copy this from Sonic the Hedgehog, we're going to copy this from Mario. It's like they sat down and thought, what kind of game can we make that nobody else has ever made? Have they really succeeded with this?
I think... There's not that many games nowadays that are similar to this. I think there was one called Spores or Black and White. I think there was another one a few years ago. But it's brilliant because you care for this little creature because you're evolving him. Sometimes, Glenn, you know, I spent ages just eating like seaweed or eating little fishies because I knew I had to strengthen up my character. I had to give him like the hard scales or the big jaws to fight certain creatures. And you have to really grind to build up your points. So you really have to think. And you invest a lot of time in this game. Now, I've been playing this game a lot on my Super Nintendo emulator on my Dreamcast. And I really love it, Glenn. And it's a game that I highly recommend that everyone check out. If you've never played it before, definitely check out Evo on the Super Nintendo. I can guarantee that you haven't played anything like this before. It's amazing.
Yeah, it does look good. I have to be honest with you, Andy. I've watched the video and it definitely looks good. It looks something that's different. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think that's what we need. We need more adventurous, different sort of games. So every week, Glenn and myself, we're going to try and find a game that's not very known by everyone. And we're going to try and sort of like let you guys know about it so you can give these games a go.
How much out of 5 would you give it, Andy? Did you mention that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I would say this is a 5 out of 5 game, Glenn. By far, 5 out of 5 because it's perfect. There's nothing quite like it. Graphically, it's amazing. Music's amazing. Sound is perfect. It really works well together. What about your game, Legend? How would you score that then, Glenn?
I'll give that 5. 5 out of 5. That brilliant. Brilliant game. Well, Super Nintendo's.
Yeah. So, guys, why don't you sort of play these games, give it a go, write down in the comments section once this podcast does come out, let us know what you think of it. So let's move on to our next section, Glenn, which is...
Topic of the Month.
Right, so Topic of the Month is our last section of the podcast, and we're going to try and find out why we collect. Why do you collect, Glenn? Retro games, that is.
Why do I collect retro games? It's a nostalgia thing for me. It's games that I played in the past, and I like to own them again. I like to feel of actually owning the system, actually holding the tape, and actually owning the things again. Because you can always play it on the emulator, but there's always something missing, but not actually owning the actual thing itself. Like, with the Super Nintendo, I could have downloaded all the ROMs and everything for it, but it's nice to have the system itself.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that nostalgic thing. And another reason why I collect things as well, because the systems I would have liked to own in the past, but I never got to own them, like the Sega Saturn.
And what other machines didn't you own back in the day that you have now?
Atari Jaguar.
Okay.
And also the Dreamcast.
Oh, you never owned a Dreamcast back in the day?
Never owned a Dreamcast, because when the Dreamcast came out, I was still at school.
Yeah.
Even at that time, and, you know, can afford £200 for a Dreamcast. It's nice to find one and actually own one now.
So how many machines do you actually own in total? And then we can talk about how many games you own for them as well.
Oh, the classical machines. Let's just go about the classical machines. I got a Dreamcast,
yeah,
Atari Jaguar, Super Nintendo, and 2 Commodore 64s and Sega Saturn.
And you've got loads of games for them as well.
Yeah, the Sega Saturn... They wanted to get rid of all the games in GameStation. So they're giving them away for like £1, Sega Rally for 20 pence, stuff like that. So I got loads of games for my Saturn.
So where do you keep these things as a retro game collector?
I keep them in a box in the loft, in a nice dry box in the loft, so they don't get damaged. Because unfortunately, my brother lives at home, my mum and dad lives at home. I got limited amount of room in my room, so I can only keep certain things in my room. So a lot of it has to go in the loft, unfortunately. I'd love to have them on display. Like in a great big room.
I know that feeling, though. So how often do you get these machines out, then, and how do you feel when you actually play them?
When I play them, I don't feel like I'm almost approaching 30. I feel like I'm 10 again. I feel like I'm 7 again. I feel like I'm reliving my past.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a wonderful nostalgia feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love to keep these systems for like an antique kind of thing. Like today, there's loads of antique shows like Bargain Hunt and all that saying, I keep this vase because it's antique, it's old. And I suppose that's what it's like for me. It's something I own, but I really like it.
So what other machines would you want to have that you haven't got?
A Commodore Amiga, like you're giving away in the competition, but it's finding the room for them because... So, yeah, the Commodore Amiga I love to own. I also like to have a 3DO.
Yeah.
And a 3DO one day, because that was a really good system. Shame about the price. There's a part of me wants to also have a Mega Drive.
You never owned a Mega Drive?
Never owned a Mega Drive. But I wanted to own a Mega Drive because of Sonic, but my brother... didn't want a Mega Drive. And at the end of the day, all my friends had a Super Nintendo. So at the end of the day, the Super Nintendo won there. But I never regret having a Super Nintendo. But I thought a Mega Drive was a brilliant system for the time as well.
So do you see yourself actually buying more machines then? Like,
unfortunately, there's a limited amount of room I have in my house. And if I have to keep buying and buying more and more retro stuff, it would just my house covered in it. Because of... You know, my girlfriend, bless her, I love her very much, but she likes collecting tatty teddy bears. And her room is absolutely covered in them. Right. You know, the room is just full of tatty teddy bears. And you do get to a point where you collect something and you have too many of them.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have the systems you really want and just collect those.
Yeah.
Because if I had to collect everything, it would just get too much.
I think for me, Glenn, I'd say the machines I own. I own a Spectrum Plus 3, which doesn't work. I own a Game Boy, Game Boy Color. I own an N64, a GameCube, a Dreamcast. Again, and an Amiga 1200. But again, I haven't got time to play these things. And I collect them, Glenn, for the reason that it's nice to have them. It takes me back to a time when I was younger and I used to have these machines. And why I gave them away, I haven't got a clue. You know, I got rid of them for stupid reasons. And it's just nice knowing that they're there. I mean, like the other day, I went upstairs and I saw the Amiga up in the loft. And I thought, I'm so glad I've got that. But unfortunately, I can't play it.
Is it the only Amiga you have? Do you have a 1200 as well, you said?
Yeah, I'm giving away the 500 and I've got the 1200.
The 1200 was a really nice machine. It's small than the 500. It's a really nice machine.
But again, most of my systems are up on the loft. Now, I mean, we've got a pretty big house. It's a three-bedroom house and everything. But being a family man, you know, I just haven't got time or place to put them. So that's why they're hidden away. But I'm glad that I've got them there. And it's nice. The machines I would like to collect, I'd like to have a Spectrum Plus 2, a Spectrum 48K, an Atari Junior, a Philips Pack, whatever it's called, JPack or whatever. I'd like a Mega Drive and a Super Nintendo. And I think after that, I probably would stop. You know, I wouldn't collect anymore.
Yeah, it can get too much, Andy.
Actually, I'd want more. I want the Sega Saturn. Yeah, I don't know. If I had room, I'd probably end up getting more.
You see, the strange thing is that minus the Commodore 64 and the Super Nintendo, the other systems I've got have not been 100% successful, like Atari Jaguar, Dreamcast, and the Saturn. I found those more rare to play with. Like, you can always go out and get a Sony PlayStation. You can always play a Sony PlayStation game on your PS1. No, PS3. And somehow there's more of a retro feel to the Sega Saturn because it wasn't as successful. Don't know if you could catch my drift there.
So why do you think overall people collect retro games in? Is it to remember their childhood? Is it to recapture that? Is it because these machines are still good and we shouldn't forget about things in the past? Why do you think it is, Glenn?
It's things that they remember from the past and they like to collect it and preserve it for the future. Like in the future, they're going to eventually get harder and harder to get hold of because people either throw them away or they're going to break, and it's nice to preserve them. Like my Atari Jaguar CD, I'm not going to put that in the loft. I don't want anything happening to that. It's actually in the box and everything. Like, these people who own these systems and so on, this person who sold me the Atari Jaguar CD says it's in quite good condition.
Yeah.
Now, I think it was his first time me selling, and I honestly thought he should have said mint condition. There's not a scratch on it. It's all the original packaging was there, and even all the adverts and pamphlets you got with the system still there. There's not one thing missing from it.
To slightly change your subjects a little bit, speaking about your Atari Jaguar, you know what's making me laugh, Glenn? When you did that video on YouTube,
yeah,
and you left your address on the video so everyone knew where you live.
Oh yeah, well, I quickly changed that, Andy.
It was good, quickly edited out. Let you know that
it was great.
So yeah, we just found out the reason why Glenn collects, why I collect. It's a tough thing to do, especially if you've got family and you haven't got the room and so on. But, you know, I'm a retro gamer, so I think I'll collect a few things here and there, you know.
Just say, is there anything that people collect, you think, why do they collect that?
I think I've always been a gamer, Glenn, so I think that's the reason why I collect that. I mean, some people collect, like, model trains, some people collect cats. Some people collect, God knows what they collect.
My girlfriend's dad collects clocks. The house is full of clocks in the walls.
Does it feel like the thing from Back to the Future, the doctor's apartment?
It certainly does. There's one that goes ding dong every quarter of an hour.
All right, mate. So I tell you what, let's round up the section. Let's round up the podcast. Before we round it up, I want to quickly say a few things. I want to say, guys, thank you very much for your patience. We have been away for 2 weeks. But we've needed that break. You know, I've had loads of DIY and painting and decorating to do. Glenn's had a few things happen, you know, with his mum and so on, which we all understand. Swainy's busy with work, but we will have Swainy back at some point as well. Next week, we have got the first of our retro arcade summer, or whatever I've called it, where we talk to you guys, the retro maniacs at the Retro Asylum, so it's going to be amazing. I'd like to thank Retro Resistance. I'd like to thank Odd Pods. I'd like to thank Darren, our forum moderator. I'd like to thank Dinaris as well, who always helps out with site. Big thanks to Damien, who basically fixed our site after we got hacked. So big thanks to Damien. And big special thanks to absolutely everyone at the Retro Asylum, because you guys make this worthwhile, basically.
Yeah, and everything Andy says, I say too.
Oh, one more thing that I do want to say. Guys, don't forget your iTunes reviews. We definitely need them. Now, if you've just started listening to us, why not give us a review? If you listen to us and you haven't given us an iTunes review, please, please, please do, because it really makes us feel wonderful and nice, makes us get noticed in iTunes, and more people hear about us. And if you don't like using iTunes, why don't you tell a friend to leave a review on your behalf, or tell your neighbor or someone else to leave us iTunes reviews, because we've got 30. Oh, I haven't read the last iTunes review that we had, actually. We've got 30 now. Let me quickly read that and we'll round up the show. So let me find it. Bear with me, Glenn.
Okay, Andy.
So here we go. Our last review we had on iTunes. Oh, if I can pronounce this right. It's someone called Zoilix. I hope I pronounced that right. And he gave us a 5-star iTunes review. And he put, what can I say? Brilliant podcast from a bunch of guys who certainly know their stuff. Having found Retro Asylum only a short while ago, I've embarked upon a marathon listening spell in order to catch up on the latest podcast, and I can honestly say it's a real pleasure and a treat. Retro Asylum has fast become my favourite gaming podcast. I look forward to each new episode. Highly recommend.
Dude, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. It makes it worthwhile saying that.
It does, Glenn. You know, me and you, we don't get paid to do this. We do it to express our geekiness.
Yeah.
We do it to make you guys have a little retro gaming, I don't know, podcast to listen to keep you guys going. And yeah, please leave us more iTunes reviews and we will be back. And don't forget, go to the forum, go to Site and Podcast, enter that competition to win the Amiga 500. All you have to do is leave us an MP3 file with why you like us so much.
I'll tell you something, it's worth winning because it was an immense machine.
And Glenn, don't you dare enter it under a pretend name.
Oh, Mr. John Atkinson, a lost brother of the Atkinsons.
You could get your girlfriend to enter it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
She needs to record an MP3 file. Or you could pretend to be her by making a voice, pretending you're her.
Pretend to be my friend Colin.
Yeah, why not? So, Colin, yeah, Colin. Guys, it's very simple. Just record an MP3. And send that to me at my email address, which is therealloculmaniac@googlemail.com. You'll find all this at the Retro Asylum forum at retroasylum.com. Thanks very much, guys. See you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody, and take care of yourselves. We'll see you next time.
Fantastic, Glenn.
That was brilliant. I really enjoyed that, Andy.
And that should be ready for Friday, because now I've finished all my housework, I can edit.
Well, sorry about my dad, but no. He had to barge in.
We're going to have that as outtake material. So yeah, let's move on to our next section then, which is
Remake of the Week.
No, not yet. It's replay.
Oh yeah, it's replay time.
to the local mayor.
Yeah.
Could you marry girl?
Haven't you heard that, Andy, did you?
Yeah. I'll add that to the outtakes. Oh, gosh, I'm having a coughing attack. Right, what is our next section, Glenn?
Tell Andy that Andy, I'm hungry. I want to get you and have your dinner. Make you dinner. I'll put it on. It'll be about another
half an hour. Yeah, probably done in half an hour, Dad.
But yeah.
Yeah, we'll be done before that, Glenn. So yeah. We're just rounding up this section.
Yeah, it's going really well, Andy.
I don't feel like I have to rush it or anything, so which is good.
Yeah, dude, it's almost been 1 hour and a half.
Right.